Therefore, we need to always reflect on our thoughts and intention. How are we making use of our life? Are we progressing diligently in the right direction? Only in this way are we truly spiritual practitioners in a place of spiritual cultivation. So this one you really have to reflect off and on. Otherwise, you can deviate without you knowing. Sometimes through what? Complacency. You become complacent. You think you know the Dhamma. You think you have enough understanding. Actually, all those are Dhamma knowledge. And you have not changed. Most of the time, the cultivator, they don't know. They have not changed. To them, they may even have the beautiful thought, hey, maybe I sotapan already, or sakadagami already. If I put in a bit more hard work, anagami got chance. Then a lot of them believe they are arahant already. So all this depends how you create your fantasy. Because thought-based cultivation lead to a lot of this doubting, especially those who can perform psychic. They can levitate, or they thought they already make it. To them, it's special ability, like psychic ability, is a reflection of enlightenment. Because they are conditioned in that way. That's why they want to learn all those type of meditation. When they can see light, they can levitate, they think they are very special. But the teaching of the Buddha, the enlightenment that the Buddha talked about, is so different. It's about development of wisdom, nothing else. So that you are free from suffering. So that you don't have to suffer. It's not all your psychic ability or special ability. You are born supernormal, so what? Do you suffer? If you still suffer, means you don't understand life. You don't have the Dhamma. You don't have the wisdom. You cannot cope with life. So, to understand the true teaching, it is very straightforward. When you are sincere, have the faith, you just reflect and contemplate. What am I doing? That's why the sampajana will keep you on the path. Clear comprehension. If you don't have the clear comprehension, you will deviate. And then the advice of the Buddha is very clear. Then his teaching, Noble Eightfold Path, is very clear. If you don't have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, you are not the enlightened being that the Buddha talked about. Because his meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. If you develop the understanding of this Noble Eightfold Path, have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, and then you are an Arya. You are an enlightened being. But you don't even have any of this Noble Eightfold Path factor, and you think you are enlightened. Yeah, so I wish you all the best. You choose to be so gullible. You want to fantasize, you can fantasize. But the truth is the truth. What is most important is to give up the affliction in our heart. That one, a lot of people didn't realize. They thought it's very difficult to give up your wealth, your relationship, your whatever title. But actually, they never really reflect within. Your affliction, your suffering, your fear, your delusion. That one is the one that you have to root out. That one, without wisdom, you cannot root out. It's not a question of give up. They use the word give up. You cannot give up one. No, I don't want to get angry. I don't want to have affliction. You don't want, but without wisdom, you will get yourself entangled. Understand? So it's not like you already own this thing, you want to give it up. Understand? Your anger is a defilement, born of delusion. Your affliction is a defilement, born of delusion. So how can you, like materialistic, I give it up. Then I no more suffering. So easy, no need to cultivate anything. So when it comes to cultivation, it's not giving up. So here he's trying to give an analogy. What is most important is to give up your affliction, means to really root out your ignorance, your delusion, to develop wisdom, you should change it. Otherwise, the affliction cannot go on. The teaching expounded by the Buddha can be applied by every Buddhist disciple, lay or monastic. Very true. We can uphold and cultivate them anywhere, anytime. But have we etched the teaching in our heart or mind? And that one very important. So that we are able to apply them in our life. You know what is etched or not? Yeah? It's like very stable already. Etched inside there already. But of course, you do it physically, no use. Means that teaching becomes so clear, so stable, until it's part of you. Can never be a part of you. That's why the wisdom is like that one. You can never lose it. When you awaken to it, when you have the understanding, it's with your nature. You can never lose it. You don't have to put on the memory there and remember. No. Oh, this one I must remember. Oh, this is anicchang dukkha anatta. This is the theory and all that. Like all the essential dhamma. You go and commit to memory. No use. The understanding part. The moment you understand is yoni so manasikara. Wisdom at the moment of sense. So this wisdom, it will manifest at the moment of sense. If it cannot manifest at the moment of sense experience, you cannot deal with life. Means every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process. Straight away, that Dhamma that you have contemplated, reflected, and the understanding will surface. That you will know how to deal. Rupang anicchang, rupang anatta. You straight away, no longer deluded. Then sometimes all the important sayings that I share with you all is also a very powerful Dhamma. Like I always say what I developed to after hearing from some of my teachers, especially Achayandra, it's only mighty nature rolling by. Understand? Come and go, no reality. Everything is just the way it is. It's only another way of putting it. Then like the Buddha said, whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions. And that itself is so much wisdom, you know, so profound. Means whatever that happened, that is the reality. You cannot change. You have the causes and conditions re-established. That's why you have to be at peace. You can never do it your way. One thing's your way, react to it and become miserable. A human being's problem is they cannot accept what happened. They always want to think, then comment, then complain. Why these people like that? If they don't do this, I will be very happy. I will be very peaceful. All the if. If is never the reality, that's why the world is the world. That is the way it is. Condition like that, things be like that. Why can't you understand all this? That's why I see things as they are. Ability to realize this profound, yet rather direct, simple wisdom can actually help you to actually pull away from that delusion. Where when you see something, recall through memory or whatever, or your phobia, your fear, then straight away the Dhamma will arise. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang. Means all these are sankara activity. It's impermanent. It come and it go. If you continue to give meaning, hold on to it, suffering is the result. That's why sabbe sankara dukkang. And finally, sabbe dhamma anatta, no reality. He know you, he know me. So when you have reflected and contemplated deep enough, whatever happened in life, this one will prompt you. Sabbe sankara anicchang, sabbe sankara dukkang. And you don't even want to think. You're wasting time. Understand? Then later on you realize sabbe dhamma anatta. He know you, he know me, empty. Then I go and zeng for what? Fight for what? Compete for what? Argue for what? Wanting to be right for what? Understand? Especially the last part, sabbe dhamma anatta. I always use the word anattito. Very nice. Acamudadasa used that word anattito. It's actually anatta. Anatta means non-self, not you. He no you, he no me. They're empty. Because it's impermanent, it's non-self, it's empty. Towards the end, where the whatever happened, it's just within that moment, within that moment, within that moment, it's gone. Dead and gone, dead and gone. As real as can be, is the present moment. When it arises, it is not stable. Immediately it ceases. Then the next moment arises. And that is the only reality, you know, highest in line. You know. But then, each and every of these moments arise and pass away, then you still deludedly believe there is continuity. You give meaning. That's why you recall through memory, you were born, you were so and so, eh? Who raised you, your parents, then how you become successful, who you marry, who your children. Then you entangle all this. It's actually a chain of thinking, thought process, the way you perceive you as very real. That so-called form of mind. That's why I like the Mandarin song, 往事只能回味. That was very beautiful. You can only recall to memory whatever that has happened. Because we cannot deny that we were born into this world and we have gone through life until now. Maybe for my age is 67 years. I cannot deny that I existed. There is some form of reality. But when I ask myself this question, is it real? Is my life real? I cannot deny I was born, you know, experience all that, but anything tangible or not? Anything real? Nothing, is it? Well, this moment is this moment already, that all those things is dead and gone. You understand? No? As real it can be, it's only within the moment when it happened. If nobody remember, nobody recollect, your whole identity is gone. Do you understand? Even this brother to you, maybe it will last in more people's memory. Your Kayamita will remember me until all the Kayamita gone. Then nobody has the memory of who brother to you. Maybe internet will keep. You go and search the new generation. Hey, who is this brother to you? Who is this bro? They go to the website. Oh, he got this website. Ayo, who the hell is he? Nobody knows you. But those who interact with me, they will know. That's all. What you understand is different. That's why each and every one of us, when we have the affinity, when we are there, we experience different things. That's why during the time of the Buddha, those who appear, they experience very differently. You can never understand what they experience, but also too extreme. Those deluded ones met the Buddha also kao lat, I tell you. Kena upside down. But they don't believe. Some go and challenge the Buddha. Some go and badmouth him and put word into him. The Chincha incident, all those things, remember? A lot of these people. And for you to do this to a Sammasambuddha, I cannot imagine the coming. I tell you, it's terrible. Really terrible. But these people dare to do. And you look at Devadatta, the cousin for so many lives with the Buddha, and yet fall into delusion because of what? The ego, the delusion. Ego and develop all the psychic. Then he used it to manipulate the Sangha and cause Sikhism within the Sangha. And finally, he get into trouble. He tried to kill the Buddha, but not successful. But he ended up harming the Buddha. That's why he is miserable there. But the Buddha still predict, in the distant future, he will still become a particular Buddha. So a lot of these things you can't understand. Where they have their mixture of affinity. Sometimes very holy, very sincere. Sometimes deluded like man. So you don't think that you are close to great being. You stand a good chance. Sometimes the opposite can happen. That's why the Buddha said, avoid all evil if you can. Yeah. Are we able to subdue our own affliction? Ah, yes. So this one is very important. In fact, this whole paragraph is very good. Are we able to subdue our own affliction and practice or cultivate the Buddha's teaching to teach others by example? Very good. As we live in the world, no matter where we go, if we can always contemplate and reflect on ourselves, then can we engage in spiritual practice anywhere and everywhere? If we can keep the Buddha Dharma or teachings in our heart, and then our own mind become our spiritual training ground. Now, this is what you should do. If you have the teaching ash in your heart, it has become a part of your nature, then your mind will become your spiritual training ground. That is where you cultivate. You cultivate with the true mind to observe clearly what the mundane mind do, to observe clearly who are you, what are you, so that you understand what is going on. It is through unfolding the secret of the mundane mind that you learn and you awaken. Means self-knowledge. That is the true cultivation. Without that silent mind, that true awareness nature to observe, to see, and to awaken, you cannot learn. That's why thought-based meditation can only give rise to knowledge. You cannot learn. The real learning is through observation, silent awareness. That's why without that true mind, you cannot start. Sing Wei Gen Ben. That's how you start your cultivation. Starting from mind. Understand that you have two minds. One is the mundane mind, which is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon, that has the universal characteristic that pertains to the existential world. The other one is the true mind, the unconditioned mind, that nature which is beyond thought, beyond mind, the unconditioned mind. So that one you have to realize. Then from there, use it to cultivate, to observe, to awaken. Then only the cultivation becomes perfect.